My thanks to our brother Sam for leading and conducting the service thus far. Of course, it is a joy for us to be here, albeit on some short notice. It was just last night that our brother Thomas phoned me to ask if I was available, and fortunately I was. It's one of my rare free Sundays off. Generally, when you're in the work of God, to have a free Sunday is like hen's teeth, and of course, hen has very few teeth, so it's a very rare occasion. We thank the Lord that we have the opportunity to come along and to renew fellowship here. As our brother Eric said, the last time I was with you is quite a while ago. Actually, it was in my student days, and I had the privilege of preaching in front of the students, and of course with Mr. Douglas behind me, and that was in the old building. But it's a joy to come along here and to preach again the unsearchable riches of Christ, and I thank the Lord for what He has done here. Certainly is a beautiful building. This is really my first time in it, standing here, that is, and looking down the congregation. I trust that the Lord will bless you as now that you are well settled in. I trust that the Spirit of God will fall upon you, and that many souls in this place will be born of the Spirit and washed in the precious blood. We're turning back to Luke chapter 13, to that portion we read in Luke chapter 13. It's to the verse 23 and to the verse 24 that I would turn your attention. There is a question asked there in the verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said, that is Jesus, said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. With God's word before us, let us unite in prayer. Let us seek the Lord's blessing upon the preaching of the word. Our Father and our God, we do thank Thee that we are in the center of Thy house. We are in the center of Thy will. Lord, we bless Thee for what has passed already in the service and the prayer meeting preceding. We bless Thee that we have sensed the nearness of Thy presence. And now we would covet that blessing. That blessing that cometh alone from Thyself. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. Stir the heart of the unregenerate. Awaken them from their lost estate. And let them see Christ. Let them see the finished work. Let them see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And this night, may they strive to enter in. Do undertake for us in the Saviour's name. Amen. As we said there in the verse 23, there is that question. Lord, are there few that be saved? And from the context, it is uncertain as to whom it was that asked that question. It may have been asked by any number of people. It may have been one of the scribes or the Pharisees. They may even have prompted one of those bystanders who were round about at that time to seek to catch the Saviour out and to ask such an inquisitive but a very prominent question. Of course, today, if we were to phrase this question, we would put it along this line. We would say, how many will be saved? We may put it in another phrase and we will say, well, will there be more in heaven than there are in hell? Or will there be more in hell than there are in heaven? It is a question which perhaps every single one of us at one time or other have wondered about. How many will be saved? But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, had He wished at that time, He could have pandered to the curiosity and the speculative mind of man. But He thought it not good to gratify the inquirer's curiosity. And instead, the Lord Jesus Christ firmly imprints the matter upon the assembled
as to their own immediate duty. The Lord took the opportunity. If you look there in the verse 23 and you notice the phraseology, you'll notice the plural and the singular. It says in the verse 23, "Then said one," that is singular, "unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved?" And he said unto them, plural. It is apparent that the Savior didn't miss the mark. The Lord Jesus Christ had an opportunity to preach the gospel. And the Lord Jesus Christ took this opportunity to drive his point home. And what was his point? Well, his point was in the verse 24, "Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he took this statement, which we want to take as our text this night. And I believe that as he drove that text home to the ears of his hearers, there was conviction. There was a stirring in the hearts of those that heard it. And I trust by God's grace to take that statement of the verse 24, the Lord's answer to this curious, inquisitive bystander, whoever it was that asked that question, I trust by God's grace to present before you the unsearchable riches of Christ. We want to consider briefly the pilgrimage toward heaven. And surely that is what every single one of us here are seeking for. Surely there is no one in the house of God tonight in their right mind who does not want to go to heaven when they die. I think I'm on safe ground in saying that. All without exception want to be saved. All without exception want to go to heaven. They all want to make this pilgrimage to heaven. Well, listen to the words of the Lord Jesus. And firstly, we will notice here from those words the destination nominated. Now, lest there should be any confusion upon the matter at all, the destination nominated is heaven. We see that very plainly from the context. The straight gate that is referred to there in the verse 24, "Strive to enter into the straight gate." Of course, that straight gate, it alludes to Christ. Because there is no other gate. There is no other entrance into that celestial land than through Christ. And of course, heaven was the subject of the conversation. When you glean and review back there to the verse 18, it says, "Then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed." And you see the teaching there, it is upon the subject of the kingdom of God. And this teaching is further brought home to bearing in the mind and the heart of those that heard in the verse 20. And again he said, "Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God?" And so we know very plainly and very clearly that this is the topic of conversation. The Lord Jesus Christ is talking about heaven. The place where you, my dear soul, desire to end up. In heaven. And surely there must be something wonderfully special about this destination. Or many. Because verse 24 uses that word. It says, "Strive to enter into the straight gate, for many." And surely many would not seek to enter if they were not convinced of the desirableness of passing through those gates. The fact that many seek but ultimately fail is proof of the wonder of that place. What can we say about this destination that is nominated? Well, could we not say that it is the city of refuge? In the prayer meeting preceding this service, two people mentioned the city of refuge. And I understand that that was part of the sermon this morning, the city of refuge, and how significant that I have it even in my own notes tonight, speaking again about the city of refuge. A city that is appointed by God for manslayers, who when pursued might flee thither and dwell in security within. Now bring your mind back to the Old Testament and to the establishment, to the setting up of these cities of refuge. Why were they established? It was for the innocent manslayer. For that individual who was out working in the field and the axe head flies off the shaft, and it strikes his neighbor, his fellow, and he is smitten dead. That innocent man, slayer of blood, has the opportunity to flee to a city appointed for refuge. And why can you imagine the scene as he flees hither? Oh, at the start he is. There is haste. There is energy. But it is being consumed, and alas, he slowly wilts as he draws nigh to that city. From one of the turrets of the city of refuge, a watchman is viewing, and he sees that man as he makes his approach. He sees the man slayer in the path, the highway behind him. And he shouts down to those that are manning the gate, "Open the gate! Go out there as a man fleeing for his life!" And those within, they open the gates, they unlock the bars, and they open the gates, and they go out, and they journey a little bit down the road, and they shout, they compel him to come on with all haste. The man is freshly energized again, who was wilting, and he runs with gusto, with speed, with all haste. And he enters into that city of refuge, and what a picture that portrays. You see, the gospel message itself is intended as a refuge for all those who have broken the law of God. And every single person in this gathering tonight has broken the law of God in thought, in word, or in deed. And you are guilty of slaying innocent blood. The blood of the Lamb. And you today are being pursued by vengeance, which will certainly overtake you unless you find shelter in the arms of the Son of God in the city of refuge. Do you see the destination that is nominated? Heaven, yes, this place that is known to us as a city of refuge. But I believe that it is also the gate of paradise, because if you come right into the context here in the verse 28, we are told there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. The Lord Jesus Christ is picturing the kingdom as a great feast. Do you see that there in the verse 28? And he describes the scene that the patriarchs and the prophets are all honored guests, and they are feasting in the banqueting hall, while these, the many, as in the verse 24, the many were barred. But why were they barred from the city of refuge? Why were they barred from entering into the gate of paradise? Why, oh why? Very simple answer. Sin excluded them. What was it that excluded Adam from God's garden? It was sin. Sin excluded Adam from enjoying the paradise of God and from feasting on all things good.
dear soul within this gathering tonight. It is sin which will exclude you from the destination nominated. It is sin which will bar you from ever entering through heaven's gates. And don't tell me tonight that you don't have sin. The Bible says, for that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, without exception. There is none righteous. No, not one. Verse 27 again epitomizes this thought to our mind. It says, but he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. The reference there to all ye workers of iniquity is a reference to sin. And it is that which will debar you from ever entering in through the gates of paradise and enjoying sweet refuge to your soul. There are a few verses over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Allow me to read them to you. The verses 9 and 10 would say, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Sin debars the soul from entering heaven. And it is your sin, my friend, tonight, which will ultimately, if it is unrepented, which will ultimately damn your soul for all eternity and will, in effect, debar you from this destination nominated. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ in our text is saying, strive to enter into the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. This we come secondly to discover the difficulties narrated. Many will seek, the Lord says, to enter in and shall not be able. There are difficulties here. And the Lord is highlighting these difficulties. Why that man cannot enter in? Why many seek, but few obtain? I believe that one of them is found there in the verses 29 and 30, where he records, and they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. There are those which will come. Verse 30, and behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. So it is certainly evident that there are those who will come to Christ from all parts of the compass and all parts of the world. But the Lord is saying in our text that many will seek and shall not be able. Why will they not be able? My friend, they will not be able because of a lack of humility. That's what the verses 29 and 30 are referring to. You see, pride was the principal factor debarring these souls from entering through the celestial gates. Imagine. And this is really the Jew that he is expressing these words to. Imagine, my friend, these Jews sitting down and eating. Or rather, these Gentile people sitting down and eating with Abraham, while the unbelieving Jews
were without. These, the many, were lost because they depended upon their ancient religion to save them. There are many today and they're doing just that. They are depending upon tradition. They are depending upon good works to save them. My friend, that to me smacks of a lack of humility. In fact, they refused, that is, the Jews at this time, to view the Lord Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. And like these, many approach that straight gate, and they will find fault, and perhaps it is true even in this gathering tonight, as you stand before the straight gate, which is Christ, and as you view that gate, my, you have a lack of humility in your heart and soul. You look upon Christ, whom we present as the only way, as the only truth, and as the only life. And you look upon that door, and you will say, alas, the lintel is too low. I would have to get down on bended knee, and I would have to crawl in if I was to enter through heaven. Yes, my friend, you need to do that. It smacks of a lack of humility, the fact that you will not bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are others, and they'll look at the door which is Christ, and they will say that that door is too scarred. Remember that is said of the Lord Jesus Christ, that His visage was more marred than any man's. That it lacked beauty, that there is no beauty in it that they would behold. You know, that is true of the Lord Jesus Christ. But He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. And the chastisement of your peace was laid upon Him. By His stripes we are healed. Thank God that He was scarred. Thank God today that that door is scarred. And my friend, you show a lack of humility as you look upon that door which is Christ. You show a lack of humility. You know, there are others, and they will look upon the door which is Christ, and they will say that it is too narrow. And it is so for a very good reason. You know, I've never been to a football match, but I've often driven past stadiums. I've often noted the narrow style entrance. It's narrow for a reason. The people cannot bring their belongings in. Narrow for a reason. And I tell you, friend, the door which is Christ is narrow for a reason. And it's narrow that you will leave your contraband goods behind. Because as you would enter into heaven, you cannot bring the things of this world with you. You will leave them all behind. All the wealth that you have stored up, all of those earthen treasures, you will leave them behind you. You must enter that gate on the principles of the finished work of Christ. Upon nothing other than that and the blood that was shed for the remission of your sins. And do you see the difficulties that are narrated here? The Lord is saying very plainly in these verses 29 and 30 that there was a lack of humility. Is there in your heart a lack of humility? Why Why is it today that you are still unsaved? Why is it today you're still one of the many? I put it to you, it's because in your heart there is a lack of humility. You will not bow the knee. You will not own Him as Lord and Master. You will say to your heart and to your soul, I will not have this man to rule over me. That's in effect what you're saying. I tell you, friend, if He does not rule you now, and you do not bow to Him now, there is a day coming when you will bow and you will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And then your soul will be cast out into the sea of the wrath of God. The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. A fearful thing. My friend, don't be stubborn tonight. And the difficulties that are needed here, don't let this difficulty be yours. You know, as well as that difficulty, the lack of humility, there was also a lack of repentance. Verse 26, then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. Now mark this and mark it well. These persons who heard had every opportunity. Their minds had been instructed by the Word of God, by the Word of God Himself. And their hearts were touched by His mighty works, but their wills remained stubborn. They refused to submit. Verse 34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. A lack of repentance. The Lord said, strive to enter into the street gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Why is it that you yet remain as one of the many? It's because within your heart it is corrupt and it is hardened to the gospel of redemption. But beware! He that being often reproved shall suddenly be destroyed. And that Mark verse 25, when once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. You see, when a soul repents, the Lord knows that soul by name. And the Lord gives that person a new name. And their name was written in the Lamb's book of life. Have you repented? Have you confessed your sins before the Lord? I'm not asking you, have you confessed to a priest or to a minister? But have you confessed your sin to the priest of your salvation? To the Lord Jesus Christ? It is He only who you must confess your sins to. He only you must bow before and repent. Do you see the difficulties that are narrated here? And the destination nominated? And then thirdly and finally, the diligence needed. The Lord says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Now, bearing in mind these difficulties, surely there is within your heart a sense of the need for diligence. The Lord said, strive. And He mentioned that there were seekers, and they were anxious seekers, but they were not agitated. They weren't stirred within their hearts into action. But the word strive here that the Lord Jesus Christ uses is a word that suggests an intensive determination. The word is that from which we take our English word agonize. I don't have to explain what the word agonize means. Everyone knows what it is to agonize. That's what the Lord is saying. Strive with an intense determination. It implies great exertion and conflict. And of course, to come to Christ will require effort. It is not an easy thing, because you are pulling against the lure of the devil, and you must fight the wiles of the wicked one. You must seek by the help of God to withstand him and cry out to him, Lord, give me the strength to come to you. There is a battle for your soul. And the Lord this night is saying, come, weary one. Come to Jesus. There must be conflict. Strive to enter into the straight gate, because it suggests an intensive determination. Why should you strive? Well, you should strive because of the immense danger. You see, there is danger. And verse 25 tells us it. When once the master of the house has risen up. Do you notice that? The master of the house, who is that? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. When once the master of the house has risen up, right now he is seated. Right now there is an opportunity for your soul. Right now there is the day of salvation. But when once the master of the house has risen up, let's read on in verse 25, and hath shut to the door. When the master of the house arises and shuts the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. This verse typifies the day of judgment. That one day God the Son will stand, and He will close the door of mercy, and the throne of grace will be removed, and the throne of judgment will be established. My friend, there is a day coming when for you it could just be too late. You can bypass God's day of grace. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Dear sinner, seek the Savior now. There is diligence needed. We are your servant for Christ's sake. How do you get saved? You enter through the straight gate. Come the way of the cross, because the way of the cross leads home. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen.